And then as we continue reading through the Irish Articles of Faith, we're in that section that pertains to the decree of the synod. In our case, it's the presbytery. Will you please read together with me? We believe that if a minister of whatsoever degree of quality he is shall publicly teach any doctrine contrary to these articles agreed upon, if after due admonition he does not conform himself and cease to disturb the peace of the church, let him be silenced and deprived of all spiritual promotions he doth enjoy. And then the Westminster Larger Catechism in question 79 asks us, may not true believers, by reason of their imperfections and the many temptations and sins they are overtaken with, fall away from the state of grace?
True believers, by reason of the unchangeable love of God and his decree and covenant to give them perseverance, their inseparable union with Christ, his continual intercession for them, and the spirit and seed of a God abiding in them, can neither totally nor finally fall away from the state of grace, but are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. Thanks be to God. Hallelujah.
And then will you please remain standing for our New Testament reading.
For our New Testament reading, please turn in your copies of the Scriptures to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6, and we will be reading verses 6 through 16. People of God, hear again the Word of God. Now it happened on another Sabbath also that he entered the synagogue and taught, and a man was there whose right hand was withered. So the scribes and Pharisees watched him closely, whether he would heal on the Sabbath, that they might find an accusation against him. But he knew their thoughts, and said to the man who had the withered hand, arise and stand here. And he arose and stood. Then Jesus said to them, I will ask you one thing. Is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do evil, to save life or to destroy? And when he had looked around at them all, he said to the man, stretch out your hand. And he did so, and his hand was restored as whole as the other. But they were filled with rage and discussed with one another what they might do to Jesus. Now it came to pass in those days that he went out to the mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. And when it was day, he called his disciples to himself. And from them he chose 12, whom he also named apostles, Simon, whom he also named Peter, and Andrew his brother, James and John, Philip and Bartholomew, Matthew and Thomas, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon called the Zealot, Judas the son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who also became a traitor. Thus ends the reading and the hearing of the Word of God. The Lord shall reign forever. Your God, O Zion, to all generations, praise the Lord. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. And then once again, before we open our copies of the Scripture to study the Word of God together, I would ask if you would please bow your heads with me as we go before the Lord in a word of prayer. Father, how grateful we are to you that you give us your Word, which is a light in the darkness. It is the only hope for mankind. It is that which is the means by which men are transferred from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. And as you have done just that in our lives, we have grown so fond of this word. We have grown so to rely on it. We have grown so to value it so highly that we treasure it more than all other earthly treasures and even silver and gold. We treasure it even more than our own lives because it is the substance of our faith. And so I pray, Father, that you would help us again this morning, that you would come to our aid, opening our eyes that have been blinded by sin, our ears that have been deafened by sin, our hearts that have been hardened by sin, in order that we might see and hear and understand more of what the Holy Spirit would have to say to this church this morning. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. As we continue our study through the book of Exodus, I would ask you to turn there with me once again, Exodus chapter 22. Man, it's so quiet here this morning. What's going on? I think there's a certain family missing. Let's see. Well, we're going to only concentrate and focus our attention on verse 18. Verse 18, Exodus 22. through Moses, God commands, you shall not permit a sorceress to live. Sorcery. What is it? Sorcery is to present a lie as if it's the truth. It's to keep men intentionally blinded by darkness. It uses the power of our own indwelling sin in order to blot out the truth that is able to act as that means of transference from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. You know, every day we witness this battle going on, don't we? This battle between the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light. And it seems to us so often that the forces of darkness are stronger and hold the upper hand because their weapons are more obvious. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul calls Satan the god of this world. And that his chief tool, his chief weapon as the god of this world is to keep men blinded in their sin and by their sin. Because men are so committed to their sin because they are born under nature's night. They love the night. They love the darkness. And so it doesn't take much work by Satan to keep men blinded. And he keeps the people of this world by keeping them blinded in a perpetual state of darkness. The kingdoms of this world are under the sway of the evil one. And so the kingdom of light operates as a kind of parallel kingdom that's under the authority and the supremacy of the kingdom of darkness. And yet it's still protected by the king of this kingdom. The king of darkness, the prince of this world, the god of this world, is unable to have his way with you, even though he would like to. God protects you. Think about it this way. The church exists within the rules of the civil authority of whatever particular jurisdiction they find themselves in. So you see what I'm saying? It's a parallel kingdom. It is operating at the same time, but we operate under different rules. At certain points, it appears as though they're the same, but they are not. They never are. Why? Because the point of origin is different. We operate according to the rules of the Word of God. Where those happen to coincide with the rules that this world has seen are best to operate by, it's not because they intend it to be that way. They don't intend it to be that way. They intend it to simply be a measure of what they think or what they deem is best. That's an utterly indifferent intention, a different inclination of the heart. So the kingdom of light operates within the kingdom of darkness, and as it does, as this kingdom of light operates as a parallel kingdom within the kingdom of darkness, it's constantly using its light to expose the wicked deeds of the workers of this kingdom of darkness. While it remains, for the most part, protected and guarded by the king of this realm of light. Now, of course, Jesus rules over the whole thing. So it's his kingdom, both the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light. He rules them both, ultimately and essentially. But from our perspective, in terms of how we operate while in this world, we operate as citizens of the kingdom of light while within this kingdom of darkness. Think about it. What rules do we live by? We live by the rules of a bunch of people that have no regard for God. Look at what took place yesterday in Wadsworth. Did you see that? The transvestite story hour has come to roost in our own backyard. This is disgusting. And yet here it is, dear ones. Permitted by who? This kind of stuff is being encouraged. Did you see this week there was that one dad, his 11-year-old son checked out and brought home some book of homosexual pornography, and the dad was aghast, confronted the school board with it. They didn't want to do anything. So the little boy said, "Dad, can I go and read a portion of this?" The dad said, "I think that would be a good idea." So this little 11-year-old boy goes in front of the school board and reads this hideous portion. And the people in the school board, they're cringing and they want him to shut up. But this is how gross, perverse, and bizarre. This world is truly an insane asylum. And as Pastor Greg says so often, the inmates are running the asylum. You shall not permit a sorceress to live. These rules that we are studying, they are the means by which the deeds of darkness are exposed. This world lies under the sway of the evil one, right? So he rules over this by sin. Well, these rules that we are studying, these statutes and judgments, these are the means by which those deeds of darkness are exposed so that they can properly be dealt with. That's the whole point. What's the point of the law of God? It's a tutor that leads men to Christ. This is a teacher. This is how it happens. And so he gives us these rules which, when they're properly utilized, when they're properly acted on, the darkness can be dealt with so that the rules of the kingdom of light can come to have a greater effect in and by the citizens of the kingdom of light. And it gives us the opportunity to live more and more by these rules without fear, as these rules come to have sway in our cultures. The Apostle Paul said to the church in Ephesus, "Test and prove what pleases the Lord. Have no fellowship with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful to even mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, for everything that is illuminated becomes a light itself." So this is remarkable. The deeds of darkness, as they are illuminated as deeds of darkness by the truth, themselves become a means of illumination. As the deeds of darkness are illuminated as deeds of darkness, that itself becomes a means of illumination, the Apostle Paul says. This really is a point of tremendous confidence, or ought to be for us, in confirming that the light is more powerful than the darkness. And wherever we allow it to shine, we cause it to shine, the darkness has to recede. And in that familiar passage in John 3 that we just read this morning, and as a matter of fact, every morning, we see that Jesus says, "For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God." So this word, this law, these judgments and statutes that he gives us here, this is the means by which that happens. So what we've been studying over these past several weeks, and last week, we see the means by which the darkness is dealt with, the sin of fornication. It's dealt with in order to expose it to the light, and once it's exposed, how it's to be dealt with. Exposing the darkness with the light is the connection between this verse of sorcery and the previous verse, "You shall not permit a sorceress or a witch to live." In this case, the woman, the witch, is rejecting the rule of God. In order for her to act as a sorceress, she's rejecting her husband as her head, her authority. And in doing so, she's rejecting the rule of God over her. And so she attempts to control outcomes. So she's throwing off the rule of God, and she's attempting to control outcomes by manipulation, by conjuring up evil spirits or whatever, making spells, whatever, however she did it. But it is as much the same spirit of rebellion as our idolatry, adultery, blasphemy, which also all deserve the same punishment, which is death. The rebellion of men against their creator, for men, for males, is to become abdicators. That the tendency, the way in which fall has affected men, in particular, peculiarly, is that they tend to become abdicators. They don't want to take their proper roles in life. Not in the job, not in the family, not anywhere. They don't want to do it. They want to give it up. And the way in which the fall has affected women, females, is that it makes them usurpers. They want to take over that territory which is not properly theirs to assume. And so you have this dynamic that's existing, and this is what the sorceress is playing to. Men tend to be weak and tend toward weak things. They tend to be irresponsible, and due to their irresponsibility, they allow the woman to take the lead. And women, being usurpers, tend to attempt to take the lead, and through craft, through cunning, through schemes, they undermine their husband's authority, and in so doing, they undermine the authority of God. And we see this all around us. This is what feminism is. This is what feminism has done. And you know, feminists are not just women, they're men. Everywhere where you see a man saying that a woman has every bit as much right to rule and authority as a man is a feminist. This isn't right. This is bizarre. It's perverse. It's twisted. It's wicked. Albert Barnes says of this passage, "In every form of witchcraft, there is an appeal to a power not acting in subordination to the divine law. From all such notions and tendencies, true worship is designed to deliver us. The practice of witchcraft was therefore an act of rebellion against Yahweh, and as such was a capital crime." It's the same as blasphemy. "You shall not permit a sorceress to live." There are numerous instances throughout the Old Testament where we see the working out of this. We see how God shows the sin of sorcery, the effects of sorcery, the consequence of sorcery. Isaiah the prophet warned in his day, "When men tell you to consult the spirits of the dead and the spiritists who whisper and mutter, shouldn't the people consult their God instead? Why consult the dead on behalf of the living?" And then you know what he says next? "To the law and to the testimony." That's what delivers. "If they do not speak according to this word, they have no light in them. They will roam the land dejected and hungry. When they are famished, they will become enraged. And looking upward, they will curse their king and their God." God warns us not to do it. "You shall not permit a sorceress to live, and you shall not operate by the conjurings, the mutterings, the whisperers of the sorceress. You shall not do that." And then he warns us, and then he tells us what will happen if we do. The people have no light in them. That is, they are those who are part of the kingdom of darkness. They live in the darkness. They love the darkness. They have no light, so God gives them what is fitting for people who live in and love the darkness, and that is that they will wander and roam and be bereft of the things that are part of the land of the living, namely love and food. And so they'll be hungry and dejected. But Isaiah, he warns the people this, and then he rallies them to the law and to the testimony. This should always be the rallying cry of the saints of God. Not to the witch and to the soothsayer, but men love darkness rather than the light because their deeds are evil. Fallen men are always inclined to falling back into superstition and growing to love lies more and more, and pretending to be something that it is impossible for them to be, like men pretending to be women. They say, "I identify as a woman." No, you're pretending. You know, it may be true that sometimes you find a more noble-minded person among the citizens of the kingdom of darkness who seem to have some appreciation for truth and truth-tellers, but really it's more out of a sense of curiosity towards them than any real deep sense of appreciation for truth as truth. The people of this world, they look at us and they have some kind of mild curiosity. Who are these simple creatures? Like, look at how they operate. Isn't that cute? Look at how they feign to love each other. Of course, nobody can really do that. They have this bizarre sense about them. They may even enjoy listening to us for a while, but eventually there comes a breaking point where they can no longer tolerate it because it's the truth and they love lies. And they'll do anything to shut up truth tellers, just like Herod with John the Baptist, right, when he eventually called for his head. And God continues to testify to us through Isaiah the prophet regarding this sin of sorcery. And he says, "Thus says the Lord, your Redeemer who formed you from the womb. I am the Lord who has made all things, who alone stretched out the heavens, who by myself spread out the earth, who foils the signs of false prophets and makes fools of diviners, who confounds the wise and turns their knowledge into nonsense, who confirms the message of his servant and and fulfills the counsel of his messengers, who says of Jerusalem, she will be inhabited, and of the cities of Judah, they will be rebuilt, and I will restore their ruins, which didn't happen. These false prophets of Israel kept saying that nothing would happen. Jerusalem would continue to exist as it always did, and no, it didn't. It collapsed. It was not inhabited. We see similar things all the time in our day with men championing these great lies like global warming. And then what happens? We see California, the nation's leader in left wicked thinking, getting clobbered with 6 feet of snow. The light exposes the darkness and the truth conquers the lie. That's why our media and all of these various levels of government have worked so hard to keep the truth from being told. How many agencies have conspired together to keep the truth from being known? Have you seen all of the emails and statements from Deborah Birx that are being made public? How she knew ahead of time that the COVID vaccines weren't going to work, but she did it intentionally to undermine Donald Trump? Yeah, she said that publicly. They love the darkness. Because that's their kingdom. It's where they find themselves to be most comfortable. But when the truth comes out, the darkness has no choice but to either be exposed or to scurry back into the darkness. Teddy Roosevelt said, "To anger a conservative, tell him a lie. To anger a Democrat, tell him the truth." Man, if that isn't true in our day. You shall not permit a sorceress to live. How far this sorcery was delusion, how far it was intentional deception, just like fortune tellers in our day, right? They know what you want to hear and they're just playing to that. They know you're going in because you're having love issues or money issues or health issues. They know that. And so they kind of sense who this person likely is that's coming in the door, and they play to that weakness, don't they? It's the same thing. So how far this sorcery was delusion, how far it was intentional deception, how far it was a real conspiracy where they actually worked together with forces of darkness, we really have no way of knowing for sure other than the fact that Satan is called by Paul. This is the word of God, the God of this world. And he's blinded the minds of men. Did you see this week the New York Post reported that 28 young girls in Columbia, 28, were hospitalized after playing with a Ouija board? They were hospitalized. Fainting, anxiety, and other disorders. That's all they said. They couldn't figure out why. They ruled out several things. They had breakfast. They had, you know, all this normal thing, which may have caused fainting. They don't know what to make of it. But they do know that in this particular school, there is the spiritualism that's very prominent, as there is in most Central and South American nations. I don't know if you're aware of that. Even within Catholicism, the Catholicism of Central and South America, it's syncretism. It's taken in a lot of the spiritualism of Africa and merged it with Catholicism. I have a sister-in-law from Brazil. We have Santa Claus. They have a witch, the Christmas witch. Not kidding you. You know, down in New Orleans, this is rampant down there. There's all this spiritualism that came from the Caribbean and still exists there in large degree. It's no wonder there is this natural disaster after natural disaster down there. You know, it's God's judgment. How else can you describe it? But no matter what this is, even if we take the most rationalistic view, still there was the practice of the renunciation of true religion. There is a rejection, there is a casting off of the authority of Jehovah. And that's why in another parallel passage in Leviticus, in chapter 19, verse 31, wizards and witches, so the male counterpart to the witch, were therefore under Jewish law, were to be treated just like idolaters, blasphemers, and adulterers and be put to death. They are all casting off the restraints and the authority of Almighty God. You know, as we trace Israel's history throughout the Old Testament, we see that there would be moments when they would become holy, right? Some righteous king would take the throne, and then through his influence, there would be a reformation, and the people would renounce their hidden deeds of darkness, and they would commit themselves, they would repent, they would leave their sin and embrace orthodoxy again, and then they would fall back again. So in one of these periods of decline, and declension, when the nation departed from walking with the true God and began again to follow the sorceries, God prophesied through the prophet Micah and said, I will remove the cities of your land and tear down all your strongholds. I will cut the sorceries from your hand and you will have no fortune tellers. I will also cut off the carved images and sacred pillars from among you so that you will no longer bow down to the work of your own hands. So what do we see here? But that God himself promises to rid the land of their sorceries and sorcerers because darkness had risen to such a place of ruling. It had, as I mentioned to begin with, it had occupied their ideals, their opinions, their goals, and their hopes. That's how it works. That's how sorceries work. These deeds of darkness, these thoughts of darkness, they come to rule over the ideals of men. The highest ideal is darkness. The highest ideal is that a man can masquerade as a woman. The highest ideal becomes a parent saying, we knew that our child was in the wrong body from birth. And so we're going to have this gender mutilation and other chemicals perpetrated on them to turn them into appearing like the opposite sex. These are the ideals. It comes to take possession of the ideals of the culture. It comes to take possession of the goals of the culture. These ideals and these goals are the same thing, right? Once it comes into your mind, you're going to figure out a way to make it come to pass. Look at what's happening from the ESG-oriented financial institutions. Environmental, security, and governance. Did I get that right? Does that sound right, Sean?
Social,
S is social. Okay, so look what happened. These institutions that are supposedly concerned about these things, it's just to police your life. It's to rule your life. It's to govern over you. Why should they be allowed to do that? It's your money, and yet they're using your money then, the money that you give them to watch over and to protect and to keep safe for you until you need it. They're using it to invest in these things like ways to combat global warming and so-called clean energy and all this kind of stuff that just doesn't work. It's a waste of time and money. And so what happened yesterday or 2 days ago, we see the collapse of the Silicon Valley Bank, right? It's the 12th largest banking institution. 12th largest, and it collapsed. And they show a picture of some poor guy standing outside the door, looking at it like, huh. And the, I don't know, I can't remember if he was the CFO or president of it, the institution or whatever. He had just weeks before taking out $36 million worth of stock value from this. Can you imagine that? What if it was you? What if it was your life savings? What if you had worked your whole life to scrape together $100,000, hoping that it would last you in your old age and feebleness, only to have this scumball steal it from you and then close the doors? They shuttered the bank. Can you imagine that? The problem grew so big in Micah's day. It resonates with us. This is so big in our day. As God had to take it in his own hands back in Micah's day, we look at it and we think, dear God, do something. What do? We keep telling the truth as much as we can and as often as we can in the hope that people will listen, because that's the only sure cure. We find ourselves as mystified today in regard to how to tear down the stronghold of Satan's lies as Micah did in his day. What was the solution God gave to Micah? Tell the truth. Go prophesy the truth to these people. And that's what we do. We expose the wicked deeds of darkness. The power is in the Word of God. to change cultures. That's it. That's the only thing. There's never anything else. That's it. We have tremendous need for God to intervene. He has to open the minds of men because otherwise they love the darkness rather than the truth. Another term for sorceresses and wizards in the Old Testament was soothsayers. And what that meant properly was cloud diviners or storm makers. And these were either persons who professed to be able to tell the future from looking at the clouds, I guess like fortune tellers do in the tea leaves or your lifeline in your palm or whatever, palm readers. Or they portrayed themselves as being able to conjure up spells that would bring storms. So they were either cloud diviners or storm makers. And even into more modern times, we see the same kind of thing. Like the Scandinavian witches were referred to as the same way as having the power to conjure up storms and to deliver the power and the wrath of a storm against their enemies. And in nearly all of the primitive histories of the people groups of this world, their sorceresses and witches and wizards and magic men were often called rainmakers. You know, we have that term that's been applied to various attorneys, that they're a rainmaker, that they figure out a way to put together some class action lawsuit and to make it rain by squeezing insurance companies or whatever. But that term came from this older use of reference to witches, that they were rainmakers. But you think of what hideous arrogance that is. What an act of arrogance for a person to take to themselves this obvious power of God. They used to call it acts of nature, an act of God. I mean, insurance companies still often refer to it as an act of God. If a tornado or hurricane or flood occurs, it was an act of God, and they will be held harmless in those instances. But what an incredible act of the most hideous arrogance to think that. What an act of arrogance for a person to take to themselves the power to change the weather. Right? And yet, even in our modern era, we see climatologists attempting to do just exactly that. They seed the clouds to try and make them rain. They put chemicals in the vapor trails of airplanes to try and shield us from the rays of the sun. Pilots admit it. They said they told us to go up there, and they call them jet trails. They're not jet trails, they're vapor trails. They're doing this intentionally. The climatologists are doing this. And what kind of chemicals are coming down from the sky on us and destroying our world because they've taken the power of God unto themselves? This is really bizarre. It's very wicked. You know, the forces of darkness, they used to be known as witchcraft and sorcery. Now, they're known by the names of science and big tech and media and the deep state. And although their powers may have grown exponentially by their near stranglehold on information, the truth does come out. It does. They can't help it. The truth goes marching on. And wherever the truth is told, it exposes the lie. Look what happens when the truth comes out. Look what happened when Kevin McCarthy released the January 6th tapes to Tucker Carlson. Wow! The lies are being exposed. What'll come of it, I have no idea, but the lies are being exposed. He's showing that the narrative that they kept up over 2 years was a lie. It was all a lie. It was no violent insurrection. I mean, most, if not all of you already knew that, but it's there. I mean, they got the video right there, where the Capitol Police are leading these people through the Capitol, pointing things out, even seen unlocking doors and letting them look around and take selfies. You know that shaman, that QAnon shaman, the guy with the Viking horns? On video, he's shown praying to God in Jesus' name for the Capitol Police. This is remarkable. What a lie. What a lie these people tried to portray. And the media uses all of their power to try to bolster those lies. You know, for the past several weeks, we've seen various agencies starting to admit that it looks like the COVID virus likely came from the lab in Wuhan. And this week, both houses of Congress voted unanimously, both the Senate and the Congress voted unanimously for the Biden administration to reveal their intel on this origin of the virus. So Biden, eventually, he's going to be compelled. Even if he vetoes it, obviously, they have the two-thirds necessary to override that veto. They voted unanimously. The truth is going to come out. But for, in the meantime, Biden's dragging his feet. Why? Why? What's the only possible explanation for dragging your feet? Because they're lying. They've been lying. And they don't want it to be found out. And God is using those who we would think to be the least likely to make these various truth claims. Elon Musk, who knew? Woody Harrelson. You know, his father worked for the CIA. And he was a hitman and was brought up on charges of murder. And I don't know if he's still alive. He wasn't in prison. Russell Brand. I mean, this is remarkable. Who would have thought that these would become the champions of truth-telling? But they only ever tell a splinter of the truth. They stop short of making this vital connection to the truth and to the testimony. Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No man comes to the Father but through me." John said of Jesus, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it." Paul said, "But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, for everything that is illuminated becomes a light itself." Brothers and sisters, as these hidden deeds of darkness continue to be exposed, I ask you to join me in praying day and night that God would please expose the hidden deeds of darkness, and as they are exposed, not just to expose them, but in exposing them, that men's own sin, mankind's own sin, would be exposed, that they might repent of it and be born again. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. Will you please bow your heads with me? Father, how grateful we are to you for opening our eyes that were blinded by sin, that we might see and hear and know the truth, believe the truth. Having once been so committed and dedicated to lies and lying, our lives being actors and agents of the perpetrating of lies, we thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your forgiveness. We thank you, Lord, that you have brought us into the kingdom of light. And now I pray, Father, that you make every person here a champion truth teller. In Jesus' name, amen.